Information-fueled, opinion-driven. This is the Dan Mandis Show, Supertalk 99.7.
104 on Supertalk 99.7 WTN. This is the last thing the NFL wanted. Prominent NFL players want the league to dedicate an entire month to social activism. Yeah, I don't think this is what the NFL wants. Going to get into that story and a whole lot more in hour two of the Dan Mandis Show. Illegal voting has been found in Philadelphia, not so surprising. And apparently now, Lawrence O'Donnell, you know, the MSNBC host who had an epic meltdown. He wasn't on the air. It was while he was off the air, but during a broadcast a few weeks ago, camera was rolling, and this guy just had a complete and epic meltdown on the air.
Where's the hammer?
I mean, that's just part of it. You know, there are so many different sound bites that you could pull from Lawrence O'Donnell's rant when he was basically on TV. And what was happening is, as they were playing some of the audio bites and so forth, he was getting more and more and more angry.
I don't care who the f*** you have to call. Stop the hammering.
I mean, I don't know why it's so funny, but it's absolutely gone viral. So I'm going to play you, it's not going to be at the right here, but probably at the bottom of the hour, I'll play you the greatest hits of Lawrence O'Donnell's epic rant that has been caught on MSNBC. And now somebody there at MSNBC decided to leak the tape.
Where's the hammer?
And so this is, you remember Bill O'Reilly's epic Do It Live? And that went viral, and that's been haunting O'Reilly for years. Well, for Lawrence O'Donnell, this is his Bill O'Reilly moment.
Where's the hammer?
So I'll play you some of that coming up. You know what I want to do? I was playing around with the idea of actually being kind of goofy and wacky. And every time, you know, like Hillary came up or, you know, former President Obama came up and they make me all mad, I could just say, hey,
where's the hammer?
You know, but I'm not going to do that because that would just be too obvious and stupid. 106, prominent NFL players want the league to dedicate a month to social activism. Now, all of this on the heels of a topic or a story that I told you about yesterday about this youth football team that decided to kneel during the national anthem. 8-year-olds, folks, in St. Louis have decided to take a knee during the national anthem to protest the acquittal of this police officer, Jason Stockley. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Now, you know all about what's going on in St. Louis. I don't want to regurgitate that, to be candid, because I'm frankly bored with all of these conversations where you got all these folks that are protesting, these police officers who are shooting black men, and there's all... It's like every time one of these stories comes up, it's the same thing. You got rioting in the streets and you got all these things that are going on. And frankly, I think at least in the case of this youth football team in St. Louis, they're missing what I would say is an opportunity. An opportunity to teach these kids, right, how to deal with police officers. If these kids want to take a knee, that's certainly their priority or their prerogative. If that's what they want to do, obviously they have a coach who is an activist, and obviously their parents decided that it was okay for them to do this. And so this is one of those stories now that has gone viral, this bunch of 8-year-olds taking a knee during the playing of the national anthem there in St. Louis. But, you know, what have we been talking about all along, right? It went from Colin Kaepernick to other players there in the NFL, then what goes down to college and other sports, and then high school and junior high school. Now we're talking about 8-year-olds. And even Tom Brady, did you see this story? Tom Brady came out and says that Colin Kaepernick deserves a chance to sign in the NFL. And with each and every one of these stories, the NFL is facepalming because they know that these stories are absolutely killing the NFL. In an interview that aired earlier this week, Brady told CBS that he hopes the controversial former San Francisco 49ers quarterback can return to the NFL. Here's his exact quote. I've always watched him and admired him, Colin Kaepernick. The way that he's played, Brady said of Kaepernick, who guided the 49ers to a road win over Brady's Patriots in 2012. He was a great young quarterback. He came to our stadium and he beat us and took his team to the Super Bowl in 2012. He accomplished a lot in the pros as a player, and he's certainly qualified, and I hope he gets a shot. So that is Tom Brady. Now, I would say that 2012 was, four or five years ago? And that's a long time in the NFL. So it's perfectly valid to say, well, maybe Colin Kaepernick was good in 2012, but here in 2017, not so much. Certainly not enough to overcome the pain in the butt factor that this guy is going to put the team through, whoever signs him. Because I guarantee you that if, let's just say for the sake of argument, that Colin Kaepernick signed with, I don't know, the Bengals or the Lions or the Titans, that particular team would get all kinds of kudos and love from all the folks on the left and in the media, blah, 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 right? So that team would be considered heroic in giving Colin Kaepernick a chance. But what we do know is that the ratings for the NFL are plummeting. And it's my opinion that the reason why the ratings for the NFL are plummeting are because of Colin Kaepernick and other like-minded players who have been taking a knee or sitting for the national anthem. You got your Marshawn Lynches of the world and so forth, is what it is. That is apparently their right, and the NFL is standing by them, as is ESPN. Now you got Tom Brady coming out, and which is, you know what's surprising about this? About Tom Brady saying that he thinks that Kaepernick should get a shot. Well, first of all, again, as I said, that's 5 years ago that Colin Kaepernick led the 49ers to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of quarterbacks who were good once, but no longer. You know, quarterbacks get older. You know, got RG3 out there. I don't think he's on a team yet, is he? But what's surprising to me about what Tom Brady had to say is that Tom Brady, he's awfully savvy. Tom Brady understands marketing. Tom Brady understands things like image. And so you would think that Tom Brady would know that for Colin Kaepernick to be signed by a team, that team, their image, while among some folks, that image would be better, because there are some people on the left who would think, oh, Colin Kaepernick, he's going to get a chance, great, terrific, so on and so forth. But for a lot of people, the image of that team would be diminished. That's why the ratings of the NFL is going down. So Tom Brady knows all about branding, all about image and so forth. And so I'm surprised that he came out and said that Colin Kaepernick deserves a chance. Now, he does play in New England, a place that is extraordinarily liberal. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers, told ESPN that he also believes that Kaepernick is being blackballed. Rodgers says, I think he should be on a roster right now. I think because of his protests, he's not. Okay, well, you know, you got to think about, again, I'll use the example of RG3, who up until, a week or two ago, I did a story on him, and he's not on a team yet, and he did not take part in any protests. By the way, former Milwaukee Sheriff David A. Clark, you know, David Clark, and he is, of course, a cable news pundit, was calling out Kaepernick on Twitter as an opportunist. He says, when I see Kaepernick in the hood mentoring young black males on making better lifestyle choices, then I will know his sincerity. Well, the truth of the matter is that Colin Kaepernick actually does quite a bit of charitable work. To date, Kaepernick has donated $900,000 of a $1 million pledge benefiting charities such as Meals on Wheels, 100 Suits for 100 Men, and a Coalition for the Homeless. So in fairness to Kaepernick, and I hate when I have to do this, but I got to give credit where credit's due. As much as I have a distaste for pretty much everything Colin Kaepernick stands for, he has done quite a bit of charitable work. And by the way, it would appear that Kaepernick certainly needs his money, but he is, because I don't think he's getting another job. But anyway, so now right to today's story. Prominent NFL players want the league to dedicate a month to social activism. Four NFL players sent a memo to Commissioner Roger Goodell and NFL executives. They're saying that they want the league to help them in creating an awareness month for racial equality and criminal justice reform, similar to the League-run awareness months for breast cancer in the American military services. The memo, which was obtained by Yahoo Sports, was sent to Goodell and others. The four players are defensive end for the Seahawks Michael Bennett, Eagles safety Malcolm Jenkins, Eagles wide receiver Torrey Smith, and retired wide receiver Anquan Boldin. I may have shanked that last word, that last name. As players whom have been advocating for social justice for the past year, they say, we appreciate the opportunity to engage with you, the league, owners, coaches, and GMs, to make our communities stronger, the memo reads. As we shared with you, the silence following our individual and collective demonstrations around the national anthem to raise awareness to racial inequality and issues surrounding criminal justice reform has been met with inconsistencies in press coverage and perceived lack of support. Well, how can they say that the NFL was lacking in support? I mean, the NFL allowed them and the teams allowed them to do it. And as far as the press coverage goes, I mean, for the love of Pete, you got ESPN that's fawning all over themselves, loving Colin Kaepernick up and down, and some of these other folks as well. So, yeah, there's going to be some inconsistencies because you do have the conservative media. You have talk show hosts and, you know, some conservative outlets like Fox News and so forth that are going to criticize what they're doing, if that's what they mean by inconsistencies, but whatever. But that's what they're looking to do. They say for that reason, the players requested that the league help raise awareness to those issues, detailing both the efforts and other players have already taken to do so on their own, as well as a plan for how the league, individual teams, and players can raise awareness in the future. They say to counter the vast amount of press attention being referred to as the, quote, national anthem protests versus the large amount of grassroots work that many players around the league have invested their time and resources, we would like to request a league-wide initiative that would include a month dedicated to a campaign initiative and related events, the memo reads, similarly to what the league already implements for breast cancer awareness, honoring the military, etc. We would like November to serve as a month of unity for individual teams to engage and impact the community in their market. So I guess the question is, okay, so what if you are a player or a team owner or a coach who doesn't necessarily agree with the concept of social justice? Are you allowed to sit during the social justice awareness presentations that are happening out on the field of play before the game? What if you're a fan and you don't necessarily believe in this, you know, highly politicized comment and movement of social justice across America? Because that's really what this is it's a political movement and a very controversial one at that. So just like these players are sitting for the national anthem, okay, well then if you're going to have some sort of a social justice thing, whatever it is, a program or whatever it is, then what if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily believe in what they are saying? Because as far as I know, the whole premise of social justice is it's all about, at least part of it, is all about having a, I'm not sure if hatred for the police is appropriate to say in this context, but let's face it, being incredibly critical of the police. And there's a lot of people that don't buy that. As a matter of fact, I would say the majority of Americans understand that the majority of police are straight up. So I don't know what the NFL is going to do with this. They say that, you know, they've got a whole timeline. According to Yahoo, the memo was sent after conversations Goodell held with several players in its effort to move player activism into a progressive direction. Bennett, Jenkins, Smith, and Boldin responded by asking the NFL for direct support in their efforts to raise awareness of racial inequality and the need for criminal justice reform. To be clear, they say we are asking for your... So really what's happening is these players are putting the NFL on notice. I mean, to me, that seems to be what's happening, is the NFL players, and I don't know if they're doing this through the union, but perhaps that is something that will come down the pike. But what they're doing is they're really putting the NFL in a corner, directly asking the NFL for their support. And what if the NFL says, listen, we are here to essentially entertain. You know, it's all about, how would I say this? It's all about audience expectations, all right? So I want you to think about it this way. I got into a bit of a Facebook discussion with a guy I was criticizing. Beelzebub, help me out. It was Kimmel that came out against...
Brian Kilmeade,
that's right. And so there's this whole thing going on where Jimmy Kimmel is criticizing President Trump, and he's criticizing repealing and replacing of Obamacare, and Kimmel even came out and said, was it that he would pound?
He was going to pound Kimmel when he's, I mean, Kilmeade when he saw him.
Okay, and so it's a whole thing. And so I got into a conversation on Facebook with somebody, and he was basically saying, well, listen, why is Jimmy Kimmel not allowed to state his opinion? And my response to that is, it's all about audience expectations. Jimmy Kimmel is certainly allowed to give his opinion, but he also has to realize that the audience expectation of his television program is they want entertainment, they want celebrity interviews, they want wacky monologues and so forth. Humor is really, and entertainment is what people are looking for on those particular programs. So they don't...
And threatening violence on somebody is not stating an opinion.
That's true. Actually, that is true. And I didn't hear exactly how it was presented and so forth. But, Bell, that's a good point. And so the point is that that's not what people are tuning in for. People are not tuning in for, as Bell just said, threatening to pound someone. So, Kimmel, again, it's all about what people are expecting from a particular entity. Jimmy Kimmel, I just stated what people are looking for. The NFL, people are looking for entertainment from a sports angle, whatever. They're looking to the game to entertain them and so forth. You know, and somebody said, well, then by that standard, then Dan, they said to me, does that mean that you, when you are on the air, you don't cover stories other than politics? Because the audience expectation is that you cover, you know, politics. And I said, listen, every single story that I do, for the most part, leaving aside the unfortunate scab conversation we had a couple of days ago, other than that, yeah, every single story that I do has some sort of a political or sociological bent, because I know what the audience expectation is. So the NFL is in a situation now where they're looking at this and they're trying to figure out what to do. Ratings are down, but they've got these players who seem to be, I would say they are in a bubble. They are in a bubble where they are simply not understanding that the ratings are down, and the reason why the ratings are down is because of what they are doing. But they don't care. The players simply don't care because they are on a mission. So we'll have to see what happens with this, and we'll have to see what it is that the NFL decide to do. And I'm just kind of looking through this to see if there's anything else that I want to share with you on this. To avoid the league or teams having to be policy experts, the players also offer to provide guidance and talking points for messaging. That's awfully nice of them. As well as updates and shared communications on the awareness efforts already being taken. So anyway, big problems for the NFL. I don't think I've... Are we heading into week three, Bell, of the National? The
yes.
National football. I haven't watched one game. The other day I tried to watch the Lions and I forget who else it was, but I mean I tried to watch it and for whatever reason I became disinterested.
Well, you were watching the Lions, so probably why.
No, listen, I like the Lions and Matt Stafford. I mean I like the Lions. For whatever reason. You know what's weird about me in professional sports? This is so odd.
We don't have that kind of time.
Shut up, Bell. No, what's interesting about me in sports is if it's a city that I'm interested in, I tend to pay attention to the team, right? So, for example, oh, and it was the Lions and the New York Giants. And I have no interest in New York. For whatever reason, I just don't like the city of New York. So I don't particularly care to follow the Giants or the Jets. However, I'm interested in the city of Detroit only because it is such a train wreck and it's trying to make a comeback. And so I pay attention to the Lions. It's the same thing with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Pirates, right? So the city of Pittsburgh has gone through an amazing transformation from the 60s and the 70s, where it was more of an industrial manufacturing type town, to the absolute turnaround that the city of Pittsburgh has gone through. Therefore, I am interested in the Pirates and the Steelers. I don't think anybody cares about what I just said. It's 125 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. It is the Dan Mandis Show. 138 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, Dan Mandis Show. You can always find me on Twitter at Dan Mandis Show, Facebook as well. Phone number is always 615-737-9986, 615-737-WWTN. I was talking earlier about how these NFL players want the league to dedicate an entire month to social activism. Dan checked in on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. If the NFL players want social justice, why don't the NFL require all teams have only the percentage of each race on each team by the national average? Because as a white male, he says, I don't think my race is being equally represented in the NFL and also in the NBA either. Now, one of the things that I had mentioned during the monologue in the previous segment talking about this is the fact that I think for the most part, when it comes to this quote-unquote social activism, there are two completely different sides to this issue. And so you got these four players who want the NFL to dedicate an entire month to basically racial equality and criminal justice reform. Well, first of all, as far as criminal justice reform goes, I mean, that can differ by the state, but just when you look at the overall controversies, the two sides are so incredibly polarizing. I think that there's no way that the league can do this because you're going to have a lot of people, perhaps more than half of America, who are going to disagree with what the NFL players are trying to sell to the fans. And just to prove my point, this just came out from Rasmussen. Listen to this. I haven't really talked about what's going on in St. Louis because, as I said before, I just, at this point, I don't care. And apparently I'm one of those people that would agree with 47% of the people in America who say that the St. Louis protests are filled with criminals. See, what you have when we see the things that have been going on in places like Ferguson and now St. Louis, Missouri as well and other places, is you have the people who feel like this is something that you should riot about. These are things that you should destroy local businesses over. I mean, we know that, and that is a certain contingent of people. But then there's the rest of us. And the rest of us, at least in my opinion, look at these protests and these riots, and you think, well, why in God's green earth would they destroy local businesses? Why would they set cars on fire? Why would they, you know, set homes on fire? Why would they loot businesses? Well, because they're criminals. Yeah, I'll say it again. It's because they are criminals. St. Louis, as they say in the story, has erupted in protest following the acquittal of a white former St. Louis police officer who fatally shot a black man in 2011. Nearly half of Americans think the unrest there is fueled by criminals seizing an opportunity. A new Rasmussen reports, a national televote and online survey finds that 32% of American adults think the current mob violence in St. Louis is primarily legitimate outrage over what happened. But I would have to ask this question. It's one thing to be outraged, but why all the crimes? Why all the looting? Why destroying businesses? How does that possibly further your cause? It doesn't. All it does is it means that the 47% who think that the protests are filled with criminals, you're just proving them right. 21% aren't sure. I always wonder about those people who aren't sure or don't have opinions. The survey of 1,000 American adults was conducted on September 18th through 19th. Now, Bell, are they still protesting in St. Louis? That's still going on every single night? It's like, how many times can they burn down and destroy the same businesses?
I have to be frank with you. I'm not entirely sure because I actually have a life. I get up and go to work, and you know, Soros doesn't pay my bills.
That's exactly right. He doesn't pay my bills either. So that's the thing. So when you look at this poll from, where's this thing, Rasmussen, and 40 and Americans basically are split, not evenly. The majority of Americans say that these St. Louis protests are filled with criminals. Well, when you look at that, you got all these people that are, you know, screaming about the police and social justice, racial social justice and criminal justice reform and racial equality and all that. Well, first of all, I don't think anybody can ignore or disagree with racial equality. But when it comes to criminal justice reform, when it comes to social equality and social justice and all these other things, there is a lot to talk about within that. So I think the NFL is in a absolutely no-win situation. But interestingly enough, so we know, speaking of polling, we know that the NFL and their ratings are going down. The polling for President Trump seems to be on the upswing. Listen to this. After months of declining poll numbers, the president's approval ratings have stabilized and even ticked up slightly over the past month. Now, you got to realize, first of all, this is great news for not only President Trump, but also, of course, John Kelly, who came in there and basically kicked some tail and really worked to focus President Trump. Because it's been an interesting couple of months for President Trump, right? I mean, Spicer was out. Reince Priebus was out. We had the whole Scaramucci situation. I still love doing that. Following a low of 39% in the Politico Morning Consult poll last month after his controversial reaction to the violent protests in Charlottesville, Virginia, President Trump is back at 43% in this week's survey. Other surveys, by the way, in case you're one of those people that disagree with, you know, one particular survey. Well, what they're showing from Politico is that pretty much all of the surveys show that President Trump is on the rebound. Now, I wonder if the reason why President Trump and his numbers are going back up, do you think it's because, as shocking for some people as his comments were following the Charlottesville, Virginia violence, there's a lot of people that were shocked by that. I wasn't. I knew exactly what he meant. But I wonder if the reason why the president's ratings are going back up in this poll is because people are now understanding that President Trump was right. See, I think that's a very strong possibility. I think that they do realize that, yeah, the president was absolutely correct in saying that there were both sides were responsible for what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I'll tell you what, folks, and just on as a very brief aside, I think that people are beginning to understand the bias of the media. I really do, because if you go back, right, and you take a look at the media coverage of President Trump and the absolute lunacy that has been going on in the media, in their constant attacks on President Trump, and the way that they'll take some of the things that he says and completely twist them and have all of this faux outrage, I think people are beginning to understand that the media certainly does have an agenda. Or maybe they're like the 21% in this Rasmussen poll. They have no opinion. Other surveys, by the way, show similar results. Trump bottomed out at 35% in Gallup's weekly tracking poll in late August, but ticked up to 38% last week. Trump is at 40% in the Real Clear Politics average, up about 2.5 points from his low water mark last month. Now, the other thing you got to realize is that the president has had some victories. I do believe, and some people disagree with me on this, but I do believe that the media coming around on what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia, and realizing that Antifa is a terrorist organization and they should be treated as such, and the violence that they have perpetuated in some of these places, I think that is something that needs to be looked at. And I think, given the fact that now you have these the media outlets are now coming along and saying, yeah, these are very bad people, I think that was a victory for President Trump. You also got the two major hurricanes, Harvey and Irma, and President Trump has received positive reviews for his responses to those hurricanes. Polls are also showing that his decision to wind down the Obama-era Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, DACA, which shielded some undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children from deportation, was unpopular. Apparently, Trump's subsequent nod to bipartisanship by negotiating with Democratic leaders in Congress may have helped staunch the bleeding. Now, that's actually very interesting because, and I don't want to go on this again because I've done this the last couple of days, but people are always tuning in and out. But that may have helped in his overall polling. But the question that I've been asking for a couple of days now is, okay, well, you have President Trump negotiating with Schumlosi, Chuck Schumer, and Nancy Pelosi, but how is that going to play to President Trump's base? And that's the more important part of the equation, because as the president's numbers are going up, it doesn't necessarily mean that those people would vote for President Trump. President Trump became president because of his base. And so the more that he does compromise with the Democrats and work with Schumer and Pelosi, then ultimately the American people, those that were very supportive of President Trump, are going to maybe look at him as almost like a traitor. But then you've got other folks that see him working with Pelosi and Schumer, and they're seeing that as a big middle finger or two to the Republican Party. So it's a very complicated political situation around. I love it. I mean, personally, I've been doing talk radio for, what, 30 years now? News, talk, whatever. And I just absolutely love this time period that we're in right now because there is a lot of shades of gray and there's a lot of unknowns. And it's within those unknown storylines that is so much that is interesting to talk about. Anyway, getting into which political party hates him the most, listen to this. Trump was at 80% approval rating among Republican voters, up from 73% at his low water mark. Among independents, and this is important, among independents, Trump has bounced 5 percentage points from 35% to 40%, and Trump's approval rating was virtually unchanged among Democrats. But think about that. Where are most elections won or lost? It's, of course, amongst the independents, although this last election was, you just throw all that stuff out the window. But that's important. So Republican voters are kind of digging what President Trump is doing even more than certainly the independents. But the independents are bouncing back as well and looking at the things that President Trump is doing, and they're appreciating what it is that they're doing. They're saying a key driver of Trump's, I'm not going to call them skyrocketing, that's what they say here, but a key driver of the movement up appears to be, they say, independents. Immediately after Charlottesville, 35% of independent voters approved of Trump and 58% disapproved. In the latest poll, that has risen to 40% approval and 52% disapproval. Now, the other thing, then the last thing I'm going to say about this, because I don't want to get mired in the numbers even more than I already have, but you know what I would say? I would say that this is yet another example of how a lot of folks in the media, they absolutely hyperventilate over some of the things President Trump does and some of the things that the president says and tweets. But at the end of the day, the American people just don't care. There may be a momentary flash of angst or, my God, what in the world has he said? But you know, ultimately, the things that he does and the things that he says and the things that he tweets over the long term simply don't matter. It's all about the policy. So we're talking about the agenda. We're talking about building a wall. We're talking about repealing and replacing Obamacare. We're talking about all of those things. That's what people care about. Yesterday, I shared with you the story of how, what was it, a very small amount of Republicans in Congress were supportive of President Trump's intention to build a wall. And I led off that segment talking about how this particular poll, it was an exclusive from USA Today, and they went around and they talked to all the Republicans in Congress, both in the Senate and the House of Representatives, and very few of those folks were supportive of what President Trump wanted to do in building the wall. And I use that as an example of how the American people are so disconnected with their representatives. Because Republicans voted for President Trump based on a number of things, but one of them was those three words, build that wall. Yet you have our elected representatives who are in charge of essentially getting that done and the funding and everything else, and they're against it. They're not supportive of what the president and the American people voted for. It's 152 on Super Talk 99.7 WTN.